Welcome, Dr. James Beckett, Sports Card Insights. This is a listener question episode. I've been enjoying accumulating the questions that I get. DrJamesBeckett@gmail.com is one way. Seeing me at a show is another way. And commenting on YouTube, I post the audios up on YouTube. I don't get a lot of traffic there, but I get a fair amount of bounce backs in terms of commenting. It's an easy platform to comment more so than audio podcasts where you're just driving down the road and you're not necessarily going to jot something off in the middle of your drive time listening enjoyment. So I've accumulated a few. I like to do that. I don't have any set rule for that. In fact, I think I'm a binger. The first comment that I got was from Dane Conan at Dynasty Breaks. He said these videos have been fun to binge watch, unique stuff that you don't see every day, even at large shows. I think I'm a binger. I do them in a binge. I listen to things in a binge. Hobby, I binge at the card show. I have a long attention span. I build momentum over time and watching a number of videos in a row. In fact, I think a lot of modern media is built on that of binge watching, acknowledging that's a personality trait that a lot of people have. You just want to keep going. It's somewhat addictive. It's probably of the addictions. It's not one of the terrible ones, but I'm doing 5 or 6 minutes on each of these videos for the card wall. And it takes a lot longer than that to prepare, but it's fun to go back through. It's cards. I'm imposing a discipline on myself to pull out the cards and think about what I want to say. And even with not great production quality, I'm doing it myself. I'm enjoying going through it. And I'm trying to show you basically what I have. But I want to keep it to 5 or 6 minutes. So if you are binging, and again, these are visual, so I don't think you can do it in the background. But they go pretty fast. I'm not going to dwell on any one card. But if it's 30 seconds on a card, that's fun for me. I hope it's been fun for you. It's reminiscent of the Reader's Write tradition that I started probably pretty much almost immediately in the Beckett Baseball Card Monthly. That was so much fun to get those. And when it was mainly me in the early days, reading all of them and responding to all of them, at some point it just got bigger and we had to streamline our process for that. But they were all read, these surveys and comments and questions. And not all of them were published, but all of them were considered. And at some point we went to not necessarily putting the person's name. We just put like their initials and their state. But the people that wrote in, they knew and their friends could know if it was JB from Texas. That wouldn't necessarily be me. But the point is, I still have people coming up to me at shows saying that you printed my Reader's Write. Now, they have to be a little bit older to do that because that's been several decades now. Anyway, thanks, Dane, first of all, for the kickoff with acknowledging the binge aspect of it, which is intended for. Like I put them up a bunch at a time. And so people can either just do those or go back to the early ones. It's all alphabetical. Dre Diaz commenting about the Vern Gagne card and wrestling. Again, I've told the story of my brother-in-law being a huge wrestling fan and glazing over when he was seeing my baseball cards. But when he noticed some wrestling cards out of the corner of his eye, he totally came alive. It's a visceral response for anybody that grew up in one of the decades or in one of the areas. Wrestling was very regional before WWF, WWE, these different things. There were different regional associations around. Each one had heels. Each one had the champions and the pecking order. So it was a lot of fun. So showing Vern Gagne, I just had heard of, but I really didn't watch him wrestle because I was in Pittsburgh in that area with Bruno Sammartino. And I could go on that. The next one's from Shane McNew talking about cool that I had Lou Gehrig, that was my dad's Lou Gehrig. My dad, he wasn't a collecting for the purpose of passing him on to his son. He was 8 years old in 1933. So he obviously played with the cards. If that makes them twos and threes, so be it. They're still difficult cards and valuable cards. And to put the extra value of my dad's Lou Gehrig card there. And my dad had some Babe Ruths and some other things. I'm not going to put all of them there, but I'm going to try to show proper respect for that connection. Another one from Shane, he really liked the Griffies. And I realized as I've gone into this and done more of the card wall videos, even though the card wall is just going to show one per player, one per celebrity in all cases except for one, still there's nothing stopping me from showing finalists or finalists for considering to be on the wall. If I'm only going to pick one Ken Griffey Jr., then I could show you more than one that I considered because I don't just have one nice card of each player. In some cases, I have not just dupes, but I don't always have dupes of this stuff. But so showing extras of Junior, that's good. He really liked the Pacific Kramer's Choice I think that was one of them that I didn't pick, but I considered because I think they're cool looking. I don't normally like triangular cards or anything that's not rectangular and vertical, but I think they look cool. And especially in some of those Kramer's Choice cards that I got a long time ago, like when they first came out, try getting a rainbow of some of those. It's really difficult. I don't have a full rainbow of any of them because they're super tough. But when you have more than one color, they're not equal to the red and green PMGs, but just the colors seem to pop when you don't expect it. It's a splash of color. Comment from Papa Jim, a couple comments. One was talking about he was affirming my choice of Z-Nut because his dad, Papa Jim's dad, had played in the PCL, he said, for the Salt Lake Bees in 1950. And I just want to emphasize that the Z-Nuts are a few decades before that, and the heyday of the PCL was before World War II. But after World War II, in the late 40s and early 50s especially, PCL cards were highly collectible. And for the veteran collectors of the early 70s that I interacted with, it was a big deal. They were regionals. They were highly collectible. Now, as the Dodgers and Giants moved out to the West Coast later in the 50s, that kind of took some of the luster off the PCL. But the Pacific Coast League had great players in the 20s, 30s, 40s. And other one from Papa Jim talking about the SMU connection, that his dad had played baseball on the SMU freshman team with Lamar Hunt. I think it's not well known that Lamar and Clark both were athletes at SMU. When you look at them, they're not going to be defensive linemen or offensive linemen, but they love sports and they were good enough to play at some level. And that's worthy of remembering. Thanks, Papa Jim, for that. My dad had played baseball in college at Cornell. I found his letter. Okay, Adam's Card Closet. Again, comment about the Griffies. And he mentions that he really liked the red Kramer with a capital K. And I thought, what's a red Kramer? Well, he's talking about, I'm sure, the Kramer's Choice, which is a Kramer with a C. But I think a lot of people use voice to text in terms of communicating short messages, whether it's texts or quick responses. Got it. Stukes mentioned that he had not seen the John Havlicek card. Again, Havlicek is, I won't say anybody can show the rookie cards, but rookie cards are a really big deal, but they're not the only deal. So to show something that's not exactly what somebody's seen, and Stukes also mentions the high school cards. Again, Stukes is the champion of exhibits, and I respect that because I think all cards are good, just some are better than others. And the high school cards being early in the player's career before they're really discovered in most cases, I think that's fun and in many cases really hard to get now. Red Rum commented, liked it, and he mentioned the Eskimo Pie card. And I have a couple of those. I don't know if I ever had a complete set. Again, the more difficult cards, football regionals and football obscure things were frankly tougher back in those days compared, but they weren't as much money. Baseball was where it was at in the 70s, really until the late 90s. And then lastly from Card Alchemy. Okay, here's his quote. The wall is awesome. If you got them, display them. I understand that, but if I got them, I can't display them because I have too many right now. My filter is I'm thinking this might go well on the wall, and so I'll send it in for grading, and I don't want to go broke putting in too many cards to grade, but if it looks like a good card that I want to protect and could potentially go on the wall, so periodically I send cards into BGS. When I get them back, then I integrate them in with what's already on the wall. And I'll probably have to go back through because I'm already up to the H's now, I think. And I've gotten back some things that were in the A's and B's and C's. But when I get done, I'll probably have a final reveal. And maybe I'll do that with a more professional camera, bring in a videographer because there are some of those around here. So I'll do the first 5-minute ones. And when there's something that's a little bit nicer, longer, maybe I can bring. And that actually, I was thinking, there are no rules here. There's nothing stopping me from doing videos for cards that are not going to go on the card wall, that are not slabbed. I could easily pull out some things, go through a box of old cards or not so old cards, more obscure, eclectic kinds of things, and just go through them and talk about them. Again, I don't like to ding them up, but surely if I'm handling them, I'm not going to be harsh with them. So to put them in front of the camera and discuss them a little bit, if I do that, then I'm not restricted to these rectangular and 2.5 by 3.5. I've got a master set of some of the obscure discs, and that might be fun to do sometime. And I've got some obscure tobacco cards that just would not be meaningful on the wall, but might be fun. Because I was a type card collector after I started doing the price guides. I wanted to have them for picturing. And so I'd have one card of things. And I think that'd be fun. Actually, you can look forward to it, especially if you contact me or let me know at a show that you think that's a good idea. I think people generally like seeing cards they haven't seen that are interesting to them. And so whether I group them by sport or group them by team might be a way to do it. Then you'd know, hey, I'm a Dodger fan. And so he's going to show some Dodgers in this video. But again, I'm still trying to stay under 15 minutes on the audio podcasts and under 6 minutes on the video just to keep it moving. I probably would do it if nobody watched or listened because I'm enjoying it. But it's nice, especially at the shows, to interact with people that enjoy the content. Hobby the way you want to. I'm trying to give you some options and tell you how it's fun for me. So thanks, everybody, and be back in a couple days with another episode. The man in the house.